of you here today. If you would like to go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, that's where our beginning text will be. I want to talk a bit this morning about sanctification. The will of God for us to be sanctified, to be set apart as Christians, set apart for that purpose of serving Him, of going into the world, as we saw in the Great Commission, and making disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility as Christians. And with that responsibility comes a difference. We're set apart. We're not a part of this world. We are sanctified. I want to talk about that this morning. So in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Scripture reads, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." We read here that we are not called to uncleanness, but to holiness. What does that mean? We're going to examine that here today. What does it mean to be sanctified? The will of God for us. Sanctification means to make holy, to be set apart for a special purpose. Other related words to sanctification are holiness, consecration. We are consecrated to the Lord. We are supposed to be sanctified. So why are we to be sanctified? What is the purpose of sanctification? Why is this so important? Suggest that we need sanctification because God is holy. If you would turn to Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11. In verses 44 through 45. We see in this passage the Lord is revealing to the children of Israel the unclean animals. What they are not to eat. What they are not to touch. How they are to stay pure. The things that they are not to deal with. Which would make them unclean. And in verse 44, he says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." The Lord is holy. We are called to be like Him. Be holy, for I am holy. The Lord is different from the evil in this world. He cannot do evil. He cannot do anything wrong. Be holy, for I am holy. We are to be set apart. We are to go out into this world, and we are supposed to try to be like Christ. We are supposed to be like God. We are supposed to try and strive for that perfection. Be holy, for I am holy. And we are called to be just that. And we are His called people. In Exodus 19, in verses 5 through 6, the Lord is telling Moses, He's telling him what to speak to the Israelites concerning this. It says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." They were God's people. They were supposed to be different from the others in the world. They were set apart for this purpose. They were God's people. They are to be holy, for He is holy. And we are called the same. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Through God's gift of grace, through His mercy, and the grace that He has given us, that gift of His Son, we are to be set apart. When we obey the Word, we obey the Gospel, when we are baptized into Christ, we have made a commitment, and we are to be set apart from the world. We are to be sanctified and consecrated to the Lord. And if we're not doing this, then we're not doing our job as a Christian. We're not to be a part of this world. We're to be without spot or blemish, unspotted from the world. And the Scripture clearly teaches this. We need to be sanctified. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. And so Christians are sanctified. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the Christians, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. The elect. We are the elect. Before time, God chose us. He knew that His Son would have to die for the sins of many. He knew that we were imperfect and we needed that Savior. And so He sent His Son. And His Son was obedient to His Father's will. And Christ died for our sins. And because of that, we are called out. Those who obey the gospel. Those who are obedient. Who are baptized into Christ. Who set up for themselves that new life and walk in newness of life. Those are the ones that are called out. And so we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 3. It reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." He chose us before the beginning of time. He knew that He would have a special people. But there is obedience that is required there to become His special people. And when we are obedient to the Word, we are that called out that is talking about. We are to be holy and without blame. Continuing on, it says, "He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." It's the only reason we are that called out. The only reason we can be of that number is because of God's grace. Because of His gift of His Son, He sent to this earth and He died for our sins. And because of that, we are to obey His will. We are to obey the gospel. We are to be obedient to God. We are to serve Him. And with that comes sanctification. But we have nothing to do with the world. We are set apart. We are to be sanctified. Continuing on, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." We are the elect. We are the ones that are to be obedient. And when we obey the gospel, that's a change of life. We are to be changed. That's something that we can't ignore. We were once living in sin and now we are not. We are to be sanctified. Are we taking this seriously? Are you set apart from the world? Is it obvious you're set apart for a special purpose? Are you being holy as God is holy? We need to examine our lives and see that this is so. We're set apart through sanctification for obedience. If you would turn to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Beginning in verse 5. Romans 2 and verse 5 says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteousness, righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. So we see those who obey will receive that in eternal life. If we do not obey, we're obviously not sanctifying ourselves. We're not setting ourselves apart. We're not doing what we are told to do. When we sin, we are not being holy as the Lord is holy. We are not doing what we're called to do. Only the obedient will receive eternal life. And we are called to obedience. And therefore, we are dead to sin. A couple chapters over in Romans chapter 6. This is a passage we all know and we're all familiar with. That when we are baptized, we die to sin and we raise up a new life. We're to walk in newness of life. That means everything that old is done away with. All our sin, all our desires, we're to put those away, purge them out of our lives. And we're to be separate from the world. In verse 1 it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life." Newness of life. Something new. Something different. Something that most will not walk in. This newness of life is something that we are to change from our old ways. We are a new man, meaning we are different. We have a new purpose. We have faith. We have that obedience toward Christ. And we are to walk in that newness of life. In verse 6 it says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." We are no longer slaves of sin. We are no longer to walk in sin. We say that we sometimes fall short. In prayers we see, hear sometimes people say we often fall short. That should not be the case. It should be every once in a while. We know we're not perfect. We know all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it should not be something that is often. We are no longer to walk in sin. That means we're practicing sin. We are no longer to do that. We are to walk in newness of life. We have put away that sin, that old man. In verse 11, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." We are called to a special purpose. And when we are called, if we obey the gospel, then we are that elect, chosen before time by God. He understood and He knew that His Son would have to die for us. And in that, there would be a command to obey. And those who obey are that set aside people. We're those people. We're to be sanctified. We're to be holy, for God is holy. And if we're not doing this, we're not obeying the Lord. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. We can come to church and put on our suit, be that suit code Christian, come to church on Sundays, and then leave and we're a completely different person. And if you're doing that, you're not sanctified. You're not sanctifying yourself. You're not being holy as the Lord is holy. And we're called to be that. And that allows no room for worldliness. We say, well, this is just one time. This is just a little bit. I don't do this all the time. There's no room for that. We're sanctified. We're set apart. There's no room for that worldliness. In Romans 12, in verses 1 through 2, we all know this. If you would turn to Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Says, "And do not be conformed. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So we are a living sacrifice. We are holy and acceptable to God. We're to be holy, for He is holy. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is that perfect will of God? We remember in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 that the will of God, your sanctification. His will is for us to be sanctified. We are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed. We see our friends and perhaps our family that aren't obedient to the gospel, and we think since they're doing it, maybe it's okay for us to do it. We are not to conform to them, but be transformed. And then that proves to them that we are sanctified. It proves to them that what they're doing is wrong, and what they need to be doing is to be sanctified, to come obedient to the gospel, to set themselves apart. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would turn there, we see what it means to be holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. I was in 1 Corinthians. Beginning in verse 14. Now thanks be to God. I'm sorry about that. Okay, in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness in flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are that set apart. We are not to be with the unbelievers. We are not to be associated with them. We are not to be conformed to this world. We are to be set apart. We are to sanctify ourselves. We are to do exactly what the Lord says. Be holy, for I am holy. And this requires a change of mind. You would turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, says to set up this context before we read and remember in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the antitype to Noah and the ark being saved through that water, the antitype baptism. And in verse 22, it says, who has gone into heaven, the answer of a good conscience toward God through resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who's gone into heaven is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live as the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And so we are to have that mind of Christ, that he suffered, and we are also going to suffer. We need to accept that. We need to be sanctified and set apart. We know that we're going to suffer, but this is for a purpose. We are to be obedient to him. We are to spread the gospel. And through that, we are going to be set up with trials and tribulations. We are going to suffer. We need to understand that we need to have that mind of Christ. He came to this earth knowing that he was going to suffer. But he did it for us. And we are to suffer for him. It's a mindset. It's a change of mind. When we are baptized, we put to death that old man. And we change our mind. We walk in newness of life. Are we being sanctified? It involves a change of mind. So in conclusion, God's will for us is to be sanctified. We are to flee unrighteous things. We remember in 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So there's two sides to this. We flee these things and we pursue righteousness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. How are we to fight the good fight if we are conformed to the world? If we are not sanctified? If we are not consecrated to the Lord? Be holy, for I am holy. How are we to fight that good fight if we are not being like Christ? If we are not trying to be like God is holy? We have to sanctify ourselves. It is necessary. We remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that our bodies are temples. Our bodies belong to the Lord. Often you hear that, it's my body, I can do what I want to. But who are you representing? It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you go out into the world, when people see you, do they understand that you are a servant of God? That you are a disciple of Christ? Or do they just see you as part of the world? Are you sanctified? Are you set apart? Is there that difference that is seen? We need to check ourselves and make sure that is so. And the only reason we're able to be sanctified, we know we're not perfect. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the only reason we are sanctified, that we can be sanctified, is because of the grace of God. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their mind I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And because of that, we can be sanctified. If we are going to obey him, if we are repenting from our past life, if we are trying to be set apart from this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we will be sanctified. He sets this up for us. Their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He has forgiven us our sins. And we are called to obedience. We are called to a special purpose. We are to be like God. Be holy, for I am holy. Are we taking sanctification seriously? Are we looking at our lives and seeing that we are sanctified? That we are set aside? We are set apart? We are not part of this world. Is there a difference seen in you? Do your family and friends understand that you are a disciple of Christ? That you have a responsibility and that you have a purpose in this life to serve God and keep His commandments? Is this something you're taking to heart? Are you being holy as God is holy? It's not always easy. We have these influences, these trials and tribulations and temptations in our life. But God has given us forgiveness, and He's given us that escape from temptation. We understand that we are to be sanctified. Be holy, for I am holy. Are you taking sanctification seriously? The lesson is yours. We'll now have a prayer before we dismiss to our classes.